The next two talks, guys, these are the last two talks in this series. Only two more weeks, and then we're done. Relationships that honor God, the series. The reason why the next two are super my favorite is because today is talking about how do you get out of sin if you've got entangled in it. I think it's really good because this is one of the really, well, it's the good news. That's what gospel means. You ever heard the word gospel? It means good news. And so the good news, we're going to talk about it today, is that Jesus can set us free from the things that hold us in bondage and try to destroy us and enslave us. Okay? That's really good news. Because I don't want to be a slave. I don't want to be destroyed. And so, yeah, that's good news for everybody. All right? And secondly, next week is my favorite talk of all. It's also the longest talk that I've ever done in a youth at youth. Okay? It's a talk on dating. Okay? The last time I did it, I think it was like 50 minutes. But we covered everything. We covered what to look for in a guy, what to look for in a girl. We covered stuff, what to watch out for, with things that guys will say to manipulate you, or guys, things that girls will say to manipulate you. We're going to go do the whole thing. I think I can do it shorter than 50 minutes, but it's a really fun talk, and it's awesome, because it's really, it's about giving you guys some criteria and ways to have some standards about the type of person that you're going to date, that especially girls, that you're willing to date. Because if you guys were here last year, or last week, and the week before that, I've had a little kind of side discussion during the talk about how valuable you guys are, and how much, what's that?
I remember that.
You remember that? Was that good?
Yeah.
You like being thought of as valuable?
I like being thought of.
You like, whoa, there you go, like being thought of. Well, we're thinking of you again.
Yes.
Ladies, I want you to know that you are valuable, that you are God's daughters, and next week, hopefully I'll bring that home for you guys, what that really means. And that you need a guy that's going to honor you, and I'm not going to get into that. That's next week. But a guy who's going to treat you right, okay? Because you're valuable. You're made in the image of God, the guy who created. He's not a guy. The
person.
Being who created the earth and the stars and the universe created you last, okay? He saved the best for last. He created woman last. Okay? You guys are like the cherry on top of all of creation. Okay? Yeah. So you guys are valuable because you were made in the image of God, and God has value for you. And so we're going to talk about that next week big time. Because when you don't see yourself as valuable, you fall into all sorts of traps and give yourself away to the wrong kind of guys. And these guys are predators. They're looking for girls that don't feel good about themselves and will give themselves away for cheap because they don't realize how valuable they really are. Okay? So that's part of what we're going to talk about for next week. It's not just stupid. We're going to talk about how that happens next week too. Okay? It's not stupid. The girls, ladies, I mean, some of you may not struggle with that, but a lot of you do. It's kind of a big thing that overall most girls really struggle with. And so we're going to hit that on the head next week. Just so to let you know, we want to honor you here. We want to respect you. And we want the boys who are here and the leaders to respect you as well. Okay? Because we value women very highly. Okay? And if guys are disrespecting you here, you need to let us know, because we don't stand for that. Guys, right? Guys, we want to treat women as valuable as they are, right? Because they are incredibly valuable. They're the cherry on top. We want to treat them like that. Okay? I don't care if you don't like cherries. It's a picture. It's like the crowning, the icing on the cake. How's that? Huh?
I don't like icing. Oh,
give me a break. You guys are jerks. Except for the ladies. All right, that's right. Displeased, yeah. Oh, that would have been a bad joke. Don't be the rotten cherry on top. Be the good cherry on top. See, that's terrible, isn't it? Shouldn't say that. Okay. Pitless? Okay, we're not going to go there. All right. That's too easy. Okay, review from where we've gone. So here's where we have been in the last couple of weeks. 2 weeks ago, we talked about your body being a temple, that your body belongs to something or someone, that we're all worshipers. whatever we give our time, money, energy to, it could be music, it could be Playboy, it could be what's the game system? PlayStation. It could be one or the other, right? I was thinking of Game Boy, sorry. Could be Playboy or Game Boy, right? It doesn't matter. What we give ourselves to, the thing that we put in that spot of super importance in our life becomes our God. We become enslaved to it, okay? Could be sex. It could be just relationships in general. That we want a relationship so bad that we'll compromise everything else in order to be in that relationship so we can feel a certain way. That can be your God as well, okay? It could be a truck. It could be a possession. It could be my family. There's tons of things. It could be anything. Not that any of these things are necessarily bad in and of themselves, but when we put them in front of God, they enslave us, okay? And they become bad. So just to let you know, we're all worshipers. We all worship something. We all give ourselves to someone, something at some time. And your body is a temple to some God, okay? And that God is whatever. What's that? Okay. All right. The point of the last few talks, if you are a follower of Jesus, your body doesn't belong to you anymore. It's not yours. It belongs to Jesus. He paid for it with a massive price. Right? He died. Right? He paid for it with his blood. He died for you. Yeah, and then he rose again, right? So, but the price that he paid was a horrible, torturous death on a cross, on a big piece of wood where he got nailed to it, right? That's a terrible death. We won't go into that today. We have other talks where we will. Okay, so that was 2 weeks ago. We talked about your body being a temple. Last week, we talked about God's junk box. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked a lot about it because we couldn't get that concept. And what was God's junk box? Do you remember? Sexual immorality. And we called it a junk box because sexual immorality just involves a lot of different aspects. Right? What are some of the things that we went through last week that you guys can name off? Do you remember any? Anybody? Sexual immorality, what is it? Anything that causes lust in your heart. Anything, okay? So we talked about that last week. We talked about sexual immorality. When the Bible talks about sexual immorality, it talks about tons of different things. It's not just sexual intercourse. And I don't know if I shared this last week. Did I? Yeah, I talked about that. But one of the things that I wish I'd have known when I was your guys' age is that I totally was influenced by the culture around me that told me. But basically convinced me that everything was okay except sexual intercourse. Okay? That's what I thought. I was a teen who grew up in the church. That's what I thought. That was good. In fact, I remember at university when I was there, girls talking to me about it, and I'm like, yeah. You know, and they're quizzing me about it, and I'm like, yeah, I'll do whatever except sexual intercourse because I'm a Christian. I believe that. And man, the destruction and the hurt that it had put into my life and how that carried over into my marriage. Man, like, this is one of the motivations for me in doing this talk for you guys. Because I screwed up. I totally did. And I had no idea that sexual immorality involved way more than just actually doing the physical act of having sex with somebody. That sex is much bigger term than that. And so we talked about sexual immorality as being not just this intercourse, but outer course. So we talked about oral sex, fondling, any kind of sexual act, anything that brings up lustful desires in you, sexual immorality. Okay? Very broad. I thought it was so narrow. God says, no, it's a big junk box full of a whole bunch of different things. Stay away from these things. This is sexual immorality. We talked about the Bible saying, run away from sexual immorality because it's the only sin that's actually against your own body. Sounds bad because your body's a temple. All right, that's a really long recap. Holy man. All right, so we got a motor. Today, we want to talk about if you've already set up, if you've already kind of set up an altar. Do you guys know what an altar is? an altar eel. No, not that kind. That is an altar, but this is an altar is in the olden days when they would worship like idols, or when they worship the God of Heaven as well. What they would do is an altar was this. Usually, it could be stone, could be wood. What they would do is on this kind of table sort of thing, they would sacrifice something to a god. So some of the really bad ones they would, like in the Old Testament, yeah, the god of Molech, people would sacrifice their children, like their human children, to this demon god, right? The Aztecs, human sacrifice, yeah. Yeah, have you guys seen Apocalypto? That's rated R. I don't know if you've seen it. But anyway, that they have an altar where they would have human sacrifice. Brutal. Okay? Some people worship gods, worship these idols, and they would sacrifice animals and stuff. And in the Old Testament, the way that the Israelite people would their sin would be paid for would be through the killing of an animal on an altar. So you'd slit the animal's throat, because sin is so horrible, sometimes we don't get the picture, that it actually costs something its life. That's how bad sin is. It costs something its life in order for us to receive forgiveness. And it used to be animals. Eventually, that the reason why we don't do that now is because Jesus became that sacrifice for us. Okay, sacrificed himself. We talked about a little bit earlier on the cross. Right? So that's an altar is something that you sacrifice something on. Okay? So everybody know what an altar is now? Okay. So, for instance, we talked about the god of sex being the god of our culture in the last couple of weeks. People give their money to sex, whether it be pornography, whether it be to movies, magazines, prostitution. It's huge. It's a massive, massive, like multi-billion-dollar business in North America. Like it's brutal. It is. In fact, we remember reading that article that the pastime of Americans, it was an American article, is not pro basketball, baseball, sports, football, even though it's huge, that actually pornography is the real pastime, because it, all of those things combined does not, like pro basketball, baseball, and football, the three big ones in the States combined, don't compare with the porn industry in 1 year. That's how much the porn industry makes. I know, it's brutal. And so really, from that article we read what? That the pastime of America isn't sports, it's perversion, right? All right. So, for instance, if you were thinking of an altar, and you've set up and your body has been given, or your mind has been given over to the god of sex, on the altar you would be sacrificing your money, okay? You'd be giving your money, you'd be sacrificing your time, you'd be spending time, lots of time in this, to giving yourself to this god. And so you're thinking of this altar. Now, how do you get once you've let the god of sex into your life, into your temple, right? Remember, we all have a temple. How do you get him out? That's the big question. Because if you want to follow Jesus, there's only room for one god in your temple. You guys get that? God is, remember we talked about this actually last, or 2 weeks ago? That God is a jealous God. He loves you so much that he refuses to let you worship another God and destroy yourself. He loves us so much. Okay. So we're gonna go through a story. I don't know if you guys ever heard of a guy named Gideon? Obviously not. Is Gideon a funny name? You guys don't know any Gideons? I know of a couple of Gideons. It's just a name. Interesting. You guys got the giggles now? Anybody heard of Gideon? Yeah, there's a few people? Okay. What's Gideon famous for? He destroyed an army. Exactly. Have you guys seen the movie 300, anybody? Okay. Gideon, with 300 men, destroyed an army of hundreds of thousands. Okay? That's Gideon's claim to fame. 300 men. All right. Yeah. That was, that was the movie 300, you betcha. All right. So we're not going to this is what led up to this whole thing. We're not going to go through the battle, but we're going to do what led up. Because here's the deal. In Israel, what would happen over and over is that Israel would, they'd follow God for a while, and then they'd kind of get tired of following God, and then they'd follow some other gods. And God would be like, you guys need to come back to me. And so he would send in another nation, God would. They would defeat Israel. They would oppress them. You guys know what oppress means? They'd take advantage of them. So they'd steal their food, and they'd steal their children and make them slaves. So it was really brutal. Like this, you didn't want this to happen. And this particular time, God sent the Midianites into Israel to do this damage. And get this. Hey, ladies, let's pay attention here. This is what they would do. They would go in, and like these guys were so evil and destructive. Not only would they take stuff and steal stuff, but they just destroyed everything because they wanted the people of Israel to suffer. They didn't go in and kill a bunch of people. What they'd do is they'd go in and they'd wreck all their crops, all their ways for food, all their ways to have income. And so the people would be destitute. They'd had nothing. They didn't even have food to eat. And so, exactly, these guys were bad dudes. So they'd go into Israel, as soon as it would be close to harvest time, and they would destroy all the crops. And so the Israelites would be like, ah, now what are we going to do? Well, they're like, well, at least we got grapes and we got the fruit season. So know what would happen during fruit season? Midianites would come in and destroy all the fruit, so they didn't have any fruit. So it was brutal. They had no food. These guys were bullying Israel. And so what would happen was, time after time, this would happen. Israel would cry out to God and say, God, help us. We're sorry. We'll come back to you. Just send us a deliverer. And so every time that Israel was in this spot, God would send a deliverer. And in this particular story, Gideon was the deliverer. So one day, Gideon's just walking along, minding his own business. You know, this is a smart dude. And because he had some grain. He had managed to save some grain. And it was during the harvest season. And guess where he was? Yeah, he was in Israel. But if you know the story, instead of, normally they thresh the grain by the fields and everything. But he's a smart dude. He's like, you know what? They're going to come. They're going to wreck all that stuff. So fruit season is a long way off. They won't even think of coming to the wine press. That's where I'm going to thresh out my grain and make some bread. So he's in the wine press. He's a smart guy. And as he's in the wine press, suddenly a man appears. And he's just like, what? Where'd you come from? And the man says, God is mighty Gideon, God is with you. And Gideon's like, God is with me? What do you mean? Look what's happening around us. The Midianites are devastating our people. And it was actually an angel. And the angel said, I didn't say it's with the people. I said, God is with you. And so Gideon's like, all right, we got to have a test here. This is really from God. So he says, well, hold on, I got to make some food for you. So if you really are from God, this is important. I need to feed you and treat you like with hospitality. And so Gideon makes some bread and stuff from the grain that he was threshing. This must have been like quite a while, right? It takes a while to make bread. So the guy must have been sitting there for a long time. But anyway, so he gets the food, he puts it on this rock, and he's presenting it to this angel. And suddenly, the angel rises up into the air, and the food burns. And the angel disappears. And Gideon's like, oh, that was an angel. He's from God. And so Gideon's like, oh man, what am I going to do? And so the first thing he thinks about, he's like, you know what? Here's what our people are doing. They're worshiping this god named Baal. And this is not a good god. He's a demon god. And our people are worshiping this god. And they're not worshiping the real God, the God of heaven. The God who created the heavens and the earth. And so I got to do something about it. And so what the people had done is they built this altar. You guys remember what an altar is? Yeah. They built this altar. And they would sacrifice stuff on it to Baal or Baal. And so Gideon says, you know what I got to do? In order to get rid of the god of Baal and how we're sacrificing stuff to this god, I got to go in and I'm going to destroy this altar. I'm going to tear it down. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to build an altar to God. I'm going to sacrifice to God on it. So during the night, he might be a little bit of a coward, I don't know. But during the night, he sneaks out and he smashes the altar to Baal. And just like totally, like everywhere. It's like totally smashes it. And then he takes the wood and he builds an altar to God and he sacrifices to God, makes sacrifices to God. So the priests of Baal come the next morning to do their little deal, and they're like, hey, where's the altar? It's gone. And they're like, what? And they're angry. Somebody has destroyed the altar to our God. And so they look around, there's this other altar, and it's been erected to the God of heaven. And they're just like, who did this? And then somebody says, I think I saw Gideon, son of Joash, do it. And they're like, oh, well, let's get him, let's kill him. And Joash, who was Gideon's father, actually happened to be with the guys. And he's like, hold on a second. He was actually one of the priests of Baal. He said, you know what? If Baal, this god Baal, can't defend his own altar, you know, what's the deal with this god? He can't even defend his own altar. I mean, are you sure that this is a real god? If he's a real god, we should you know, just sit back and let him zap Gideon. So of course, because it was a false god, nothing happened to Gideon. And so at that point, Gideon got together and he got together a whole bunch of men and said, we're going to go, God has given me a plan, we're going to go and we're going to defeat the Midian army. And so the rest of the story you can read in the book of Judges. It starts in chapter 6. The story we just kind of summarized is actually chapter 6. You can start in chapter 7 or actually even in verse 33 in chapter 6 if you want to read it. It's in the book of Judges. Okay? It's a cool story. He goes out with, ends up with 300 men and defeats a whole huge army of like hundreds of thousands. So, very cool story. But anyway, here's the point of this story. If you've built an altar to the god of sex in your life, if you want to get rid of the god of sex, you first of all have to take down the altar. So, what does that mean? What does that look like? Let's go specifically for two things. First of all, we'll talk about pornography and we'll talk about relationships. Okay. First of all, if pornography is a problem for you, how do you destroy the altar to the god of sex? The first thing you need to do is you need to remove things in your life that cause you to fall. Okay? If you're going to get the god of sex out of your life, it's going to cost you something. Okay? It's going to cost you some things that you may not want to give up. If you struggle with the computer, you might have to give up going on the internet. Yeah? If you'd rather worship the god of sex and end up in hell, then yes, by all means, go that direction. But I'm telling you, don't do that, okay? There's a better plan. There's a better way. Okay? You do not want to give yourself over to this god. He's a slave driver. And, you know, we read the statistics a few weeks back about how many people are, like, what was it, 3 million or... No, it's more than that. It's like 16 million people in the States are admittedly addicted to sex and addicted. Yeah, it's crazy. There's way more addicted just to porn. Like, it's nuts. Okay, so the very first thing you got to do is you need to recognize areas in your life that cause you to stumble. Okay? Could be the TV, could be the internet, could be movies. Very first thing you do in order to take down, destroy this altar is you need to take those things out of your life. Okay? If it's the internet, it might be that you find that if you're just surfing and there's no one around, that's the time. Okay? That's the time that's danger for you. Don't surf when no one's around. Okay? That can be the simple solution. If that doesn't work, you've got to get a little more deeper. If you find that you just can't go on the internet without accessing porn, get off the internet. If you find that you just can't stay away from the internet, get rid of your... If you have a personal computer in your room, number one thing, that needs to get out of your room. Okay? Because this is part of destroying this altar. This is your place of worship in front of the computer. And you're worshiping the god of sex. This is what I heard yesterday, a guy talking. And it blew me away. He was talking about the porn and prostitution industry in Seattle. They were doing a study. And they found that the girls who were prostitutes and the girls who were in pornography, that a vast majority of them had been sexually abused as children. Almost all of them either by their father or by an uncle. Okay? Massive, over 90% of these girls. Okay? The other thing they found is that, specifically in prostitution and also in the porn industry, that a lot of these girls were modern-day slaves. That their pimps owned them. That they had no way out. That if they tried to escape, they were threatened with death. I mean, this is slavery. I mean, I don't know if you've ever read about slavery or what happened, but that's slavery. And not just prostitution, also in the porn industry. Girls trying to work their way out of debt. It's brutal. I had no idea. And I'm listening to this going like, no way. And then he was like passionate about it. He's just like, you guys not know what's happening. So when you give your money to pornography, when you give your money to the god of sex, you are actually supporting modern day slavery. Guys, I don't know if that affects the way if you're into porn, if that affects you. I hope it does. Because the idea of these girls being enslaved is brutal. I mean, just the fact that most of them have been abused and grown up abused either by fathers or uncles is horrifying. I can't imagine that. Let alone now held in this industry is brutal. They can't escape. They're actually slaves. So don't support the slave industry. So I don't know if that impacted you, but it did me. And I was just like, wow, that's unbelievable. So so you're getting rid of anything that causes sinful lust in your life. It could be magazines, pictures, posters, sexually immoral music. It could be video games, movies, MSN, cell phone, TV shows that glorify sex and sexual immorality. Etc. It could be anything. Now, I'm not just saying that now you just go home and get rid of everything. Okay? Please don't do that. You need to think about these things. Where am I falling and why? Okay? If you're falling in these certain areas, if you have, specifically guys, if you have pictures of scantily clad women that cause you to lust, whether they're posters or pictures on your phone or pictures or video games, you need to get rid of them. Otherwise, you're just going to keep sacrificing to the god of sex, and you're not going to be able to destroy the altar. Okay, ladies, it could be the same thing. It could be pictures of guys. It could be pictures of fashion, clothes. It could be anything that we put in front of God that causes us to sin or to lust. And for ladies, usually the lust is a little bit different than guys. More and more, it's becoming more and the same. You know, it used to be just guys were addicted to porn, and now it's like, yeah, the stats are really disturbing. That, you know, the girls rising all the time, and more addiction to pornography and the same things that guys are addicted to. It's brutal. But here's what I found that ladies lust for more than just the physical act of sex like guys do. That the girls are lusting for an emotional connection with somebody. They want someone to love them. They want someone to make them feel valuable. And they'll do anything to get it. And they end up giving themselves away. And after, feeling even lower and more worthless than they did before. But continuing to do it because it's the only way they know they can feel like they're valued. And unfortunately, it's this cycle that just spins downward. It's slavery is what it is. And you've got this lust for relationship, this desire that you will give yourself away, that you will throw all your morals away, all your beliefs, everything that you believe in, just so you can feel a certain way. Ladies, you're more valuable than that. Don't do it. You're valuable in God's eyes. Don't throw your bodies away. Don't throw your temple to the god of sex. Okay. Really quickly, we're gonna have a clip in a second here, but I just want to give you some evidence that the god of sex has taken up residence in your heart. Okay? First of all, you have a tolerance or an acceptance of sin. You're okay with it. You know it's wrong, but you choose to do it anyway. Okay? That's a huge indicator. You know something wrong, but you're choosing to do it anyway. You have an altar that needs to be destroyed in your heart. Okay, how about desire? Your desire becomes craving for the sin you are tolerating in your life. Okay, so it goes just from tolerating this sin to craving it. Okay, you know you've entered another whole stage of sin and of devotion to the god of sex. At this point, like this is a lot of times, this is where addiction kind of moves in. And you need help to get out of it. Okay, the last thing is self-deception. That you convince yourself at this point that it's no longer wrong. That it's okay, you have lots of excuses, other people are doing it. You know, God loves us, he'll be okay with it in the end. You start justifying your behavior until you actually start believing your own lies. And you know what? It's necessary to do that because you can't live with the guilt anymore. Unless you justify it somehow, the guilt is going to kill you. You stop coming to church. You don't want to hear some of the talks. In fact, some of the people may have already dropped out. They don't want to hear about this. They don't want to feel guilty. And then your legal defense team rushes to your mind and it's like, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Who's God anyway? That doesn't apply to me. I'm okay. I can handle it. It's just pictures. The defense team is just giving her in your mind. Those are some evidence. That's some evidence that there's a god of sex or a god, some other god. Doesn't even have to be sex. Could be other things too. That have set up residence in your heart and you are sacrificing to this god and you need to destroy that altar and follow Jesus. Say, Jesus, I want you to be the God of my life. And some of you guys are hurt and broken, and here's the good news. Jesus offers you forgiveness. All you have to do is repent from your sin. Repent, confess your sin, and Jesus said he's faithful and just to forgive you your sin, to cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. He wants you to repent and turn away from your sin. That was the message of Jesus. If you were to say in one simple word, what did Jesus talk about? Repentance. He's like, repent. Turn to God. And God will clean up your life. He'll remind you of how, ladies especially, he'll remind you how valuable you are because you're his daughter. He wants to clean you up, make you whole again, forgive you, give you a clean start so that you're pure and holy and lovely and beautiful in his sight. That's what he wants to do for you. Guys, he wants to do the same thing for you. He wants to clean you up. He wants you to get rid of these things that are destroying your life and destroying the lives of others around you. Especially if sexual addiction has gone just from you by yourself. Now you're projecting it on other people in relationships. It's brutal. You become a predator, hurting people that you think you love but actually just are lusting after. All right. Holy cow. We're really late. We're going to watch a clip from The Matrix. Practical ways to deal with sin. Small groups, there's kind of two sections. Skip the first section when you go to your small groups and just go to the second session. It's three ways to deal with temptation and three Bible verses that talk about how to deal with temptation in your life. Okay? So we're going to watch this clip. This clip is from The Matrix. It's Trinity running away from the agents, all right? It's a good scene. She's running like crazy.